Rebuilding Your Life, Moving from Disaster to Prosperity with Susan Chiraco, where we help you transform your life by changing what you're telling yourself. Whatever your circumstances, you can experience health, financial security, and a sense of well-being once again. And now, here's your host, Susan Chiraco.
On behalf of Rebuilding Your Life Radio and the Train Your Brain, Claim Your Power calls, welcome. Today, I am joined by Les Tripp. Les is the author of Strong and Courageous, a devotional for men in the battle, as well as Walls and Gates, which just came out in August. Les leads Bible studies, and his writings are explorations of biblical themes. So far, he has focused on serving men's groups, although I think he's expanding his outreach to include women as well. So please join me as we wave our hands to welcome Les Tripp. Hello, Les. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Susan. It's good to talk to you.
It's great. How's the weather where you are?
It was very heavy rain this morning, you know, part of that hurricane going
through
Louisiana. We just on the fringe of it. But now it's a beautiful day.
Oh, I love that. Nothing like post-hurricane weather.
True.
Les, how'd you get involved in Bible study and after that to writing devotionals?
Well, to the first part of the question, how did I get involved in Bible study? I guess somewhere along the lines, people saw potential and invited me to teach. And I've been doing it for many, many years. In terms of getting involved in writing, I was producing a study and sending it to about 40 or 50 friends of mine, and someone suggested that I publish. And that light lit the fire, and it's been that ever since.
Well, you've gone on to write not just Strong and Courageous, but also Walls and Gates, which I guess is based on Nehemiah.
It is.
What themes are you exploring in that book?
In the Walls and Gates, looking at Nehemiah as a leader, looking at him as being persevering in his efforts to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And also looking at his efforts in conjunction with Ezra in reestablishing a strong foundation of faith for the Israelites.
Now, when someone picks up your book to do a Bible study, how have you got it organized, like on a single page? What do you take people through?
I take bite-sized pieces of scripture and then develop it. I've done considerable research in both volumes as to what is happening, what people are saying about it, some of the culture of the time, and then from that deal with how it applies to today. And each study, each devotional, with a series of questions relating to personal application as well as group or church application. In Strong and Courageous, it's divided into looking in and then looking out, looking at the changes that may need to be made personally, and then looking out as to how we relate to other people from that particular passage. In Walls and Gates, we deal with questions relating to one's personal march through life in terms of what's happening with Nehemiah personally, and then looking at how it might apply in the church today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that you haven't stopped writing, that you're actually in the middle of creating another book. And
true.
I think we spent a bit of time talking about this before, and the working title is Empowered to Make a Difference. Seems to me you told me you've been thinking about this book for a long time.
Interrupted by Strong and Courageous and Walls and Gates.
Mm-hmm. So how long have you been working on it?
Oh, I guess maybe 20 years or more.
Oh, my goodness. That's a long time. What topics are you discussing in this
well,
book?
Well, it's a study of the Christian life from salvation through to the other end where one is making disciples, leading others to the throne of grace.
Mm-hmm. Well, disciple making, you did make a point that that was a major theme in this book. Is that tied to something historically?
Well, in the Strong and Courageous and Walls and Gates, it's related to a disciple. What is a disciple doing in the particular environment or situation that's described in the scripture? So the question is, are we being discipled, and are we discipling others?
Mm. Now, how do you teach someone to be a disciple? What is involved in that?
Well, I find in dealing with men in particular that they use the discipling material that they were brought up on. And some of that is available through CRU, or used to be Campus Crusade, 10 transferable mm-hmm. concepts, or a study mm-hmm. I have, which is Christian Mentors Network material. And mm-hmm. it takes through passages of scripture that help one develop a firm foundation of faith, and then be able to translate that into sharing with others.
So I guess what I'm seeking here is that, I guess when we talked before, you were talking about relying on God to lead you in order to be a better disciple. That we have a tendency to want to be off on our own. So so we're looking for guidance from where?
Okay. Well, yes. The thing in Strong and Courageous is that very early on in the first chapter, it says the Lord spoke to Joshua. And I use the expression out of the old CB days, Joshua had his ears on. So it's a matter of having a personal relationship with the Lord and allowing him to guide and to direct. And we see that throughout Joshua. We see it again in Nehemiah, and in particular in looking at one spiritual journey. It is the Holy Spirit that leads us through the various steps of spiritual development, of being able to apply the Word of God because of the presence of the Spirit and the ability to see opportunities to share the gospel or to encourage somebody who's struggling in their faith.
To have a touch of intuition, of guidance that comes through you in order to communicate to another person.
Right.
Do you believe that everyone has a divine purpose?
Yes.
And how do they find it?
It comes through a personal relationship with the Lord. It comes with time in the Word. It comes with time in prayer. And one of the things I think we miss is it comes in time in fellowship. were we rubbing shoulders with other believers, either encouraging us or for us to encourage them?
Now, when I hear people talk about this, a lot of times they say, oh, it's been placed on my heart, or I've been impressed to do something.
Yes.
Are people hearing it? I mean, it really isn't necessarily George, you know, it's not like George Burns is stepping out there and telling you what to do.
You know, people are looking for an audible voice. Not something that I've ever experienced. It's a very still, small, quiet voice that just kind of puts things together in a way that I hadn't thought before or I hadn't seen before. You know, I've seen it in neighborhood Bible studies of engaging people, who needs to be involved. It's difficult because we're so used to thinking in terms of doing things in our own strength and our own power, in our own wisdom, that the Lord has a much clearer path for us if we're only listening.
That is, I guess that's the hardest part, is to let go of what we think something should be and allow this message to get through to us, allow intuition or inspiration. We're distracted.
Yeah, we're so distracted by our culture, by what's going on around us, that we tend to grab things that work for other people that may not necessarily be the things that the Lord is expecting of us.
So I'm listening and I'm getting the message. And I finally get it. I have had enough people tell me, you really should do this or that. And I see that I have talents in that area. And it's something I enjoy, so that I really want to do it. What's next?
Stepping out in faith.
Mm. Just do it, as they say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In reality, that's the case. It's a challenge, particularly if you're moving into an area that's out of your comfort zone. But once you do that and then you experience how God worked in your life in that situation, then you're more open to doing it again in the future. And that process then continues.
But is it always easy going at that point?
Oh, no. Well, let's take Strong and Courageous and Joshua. Joshua, the bulk of the book of Joshua deals with 5 years of battles to remove the Canaanites from the Promised Land. It's battle. In Nehemiah was confronted by three guys who thought that he was encroaching on their territory, their region, usurping power from them. And they were very strongly engaged in trying to prevent the rebuilding of the walls. You know, Satan is alive and well. We're confronted almost on a daily basis when we begin to move in a direction the Lord wants us to move. We see opposition. We experience opposition.
But we can get past that. How is sometimes murky, but we have a strong, you know, we have the Lord in our court. If we're listening and not trying to go off on our own, and we can and this power, this divine power, can intervene as long as we ask for it.
Yes. It's a matter of unleashing the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we turn our lives over to the Lord through salvation, He places His Spirit in us. But the discipling process is one of allowing people to begin to see how the Spirit works and what the Spirit can do. And it's unique to each individual. It's not the same thing for everybody. The direction, the way the Lord communicates, all of these things are tailored uniquely to us as individuals.
So we are listening. We're supposed to be listening. And yet we have this giant me, this giant I, I'm important, a giant ego that says, let me do it. It's my job.
Yeah. Well, and that gets back to motivation. What is the motivation for us for whatever we're doing? If we're putting ourselves out in front, if it's to bring attention to ourselves, that's the me, the I, the self. And the Lord does not, he prefers to operate with our lives turned over to him and allowing him to control. Three words that I use in discipling is commitment, surrender, and submission. And that's what then releases the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you're in charge here.
That's interesting that you use the word submission. Because,
oh, yes.
Because, you know, from the female perspective, that that's one of the tough words. I will submit to my husband. And in this age of, you know, as we've evolved decades,
yes.
That's no longer a word we use toward that relationship in marriage.
True.
But you're not speaking necessarily from a submission of a woman to a man, but for all of us, submission to God.
Yeah, you know, when we bring the marriage issue in, it muddies the water.
Mm-hmm.
and again, that is something that only through spiritual transformation that marriage relationship is built on trust and a partnership. With respect to the Lord, you know, why does the Lord give us parents as children? And that is so that we learn to obey. And we learn to obey so that we can learn to obey with the Lord. We follow his, we're obedient to him, and we agree to move out in the direction that he's taking us.
Can we do this on our own?
No. No. Again, you get back to it. You know, a couple of phrases that I use. It's God is the hand in our glove. He is the wind in our sails. He is the helium in our balloon. No, we mess things up when we do it on our own. But when we depend upon him to lead us and to guide us, then we, and you know, we're obedient in that process, then we are successful in accomplishing his will.
But we have to go through that process, or a certain process, before we may get to that point. I'm thinking
well,
in terms
not
of
only
studying,
that,
you know, studying the
it's
word.
A daily,
being,
it's
a, yeah.
It's daily. You know, because every day we're confronted with new challenges, new issues, new tasks, and we've got to learn to do that commitment, submission, and surrender on a daily basis. In fact, it needs to happen more frequently than just on a daily basis, as a moment by moment.
Oh, that's tough. Talk about those distractions.
Well, it is.
You know?
It is.
Yeah,
definitely. It's in our DNA. And the spiritual transition process is one of setting aside self and opening our lives up to the movement of the Lord.
That is a lifetime journey, moment to moment.
It is.
Right. I'm just thinking of all those distractions. You used the word a moment ago, but, you know, the distractions that come in and they're taking you off in all directions. You're constantly having to pull yourself and rein yourself back in.
Oh, yes.
Is there something we can do to remove or lessen the distractions?
Well, I would suggest the three things that I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It's prayer. That communication, two-way communication with the Lord. It's time in the Word, feeding mm-hmm. on the Word, and it is time in fellowship where we are strengthened and encouraged by others. We, in turn, strengthen and encourage others. We may see insights. We have insights that we may encourage a person in a direction that they hadn't thought about going. And the same applies when we're being encouraged.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me. And the idea that by doing this, we also achieve our success. I know the word success is, you know, used usually in a more profit-minded manner, but
oh yes,
no, but this obedience to God, there is a reward that comes from it. Whether we call it success, it may be some other word we would use instead. But I think you used the word when we talked before that there's a blessing that comes to us and prospers us. In life.
It is, yes, yes. And that comes, again, from obedience. A pastor often uses the expression or the story of when young pastors come to him and ask him about success, or they're thinking in terms of success measured in terms of the numbers of people in the congregation, growth and spiritual development in the congregation. And his response is, no, that has nothing to do with it. Success is measured in terms of obedience. Are you, as a pastor, being obedient to the Lord? Don't look at other people. It's about you. And so success is a word we throw around. You mentioned profit, power, mm-hmm. position. That's the way we look at it in our culture, in our society. But in terms of the spiritual life, success is measured in terms of that relationship that one has with the Lord, in terms of obedience, responding to Him, and doing what He asks.
So when we have had an accomplishment, we have achieved what we believe is the purpose that the Lord has given us, the task that He has given us for this moment. Do we get to sit down and rest on our laurels at that point?
You know, I'm looking forward to that day when I can sit down and rest. You know, my expiration date, if you will, we are given a night in which to rest, and the next day we start in again, and we're facing with different challenges on the next day. We come across different people, different needs, and it's an ongoing, continuing process, and He leads us from one encounter to another, and through that we experience His presence renewed on a daily basis.
I like that. To feel his presence renewed on a daily basis. Well, Les, where can people find Strong and Courageous, a devotional for men in the battle, as well as Walls and Gates?
My publisher is West Bull. It's a division of Thomas Nelson and Zondervan. Otherwise, there are the normal places that you can get it, Christian book distributors, Amazon, Lifeway, just any number of bookstores.
Marvelous. And do you have any idea when you're going to complete Empowered to Make a Difference?
My goal is to have it ready by the end of the year. But progress right now is kind of slow, so I just set that as an effort to try to keep it moving.
Those little deadlines we give ourselves are helpful.
They are.
For sure.
I couldn't survive without it, yes.
Well, I really appreciate your spending some time with us today, Les. Let's remind our listeners that we've been talking with Les Tripp about his books, Strong and Courageous, a devotional for men in the battle, and Walls and Gates. And as he said, they are available via his publisher, as well as the more standard, outlets like Amazon and local bookstores. I'd also like to thank our listeners for joining us today. Remember, we support the work of authors when we buy their books and recommend them to others. You can also support the work of this program by going to the anchor.fm podcast, Train Your Brain, Claim Your Power. You can like us, follow us, subscribe, or become a sponsor. If you'd like to stay connected with our community of authors, you can register at susanshirako.com. That's SusanShirako. And receive a copy of the Survivor's Guide, 12 Tips to Gain Inner Peace at the same time. So thank you for letting us give authors a voice today. And thank you again for being with us, Les.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the chat.
It was a wonderful chat. I hope we get to do it again. So once again, it's time to go, everyone. Bye for now, and have a great day.
Thank you very much for tuning in today. If you've been inspired by this show, leave a rating or review on iTunes and visit www.rainbowsoverruins.com to receive a free chapter from Susan's book. On behalf of Susan Shirako, this has been Rebuilding Your Life, Moving from Disaster to Prosperity, sharing the journeys of those affected by sudden and great loss and what they did to heal, rebuild, and where they are now.